Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vin Misano. We are filming live tonight from the East End Aviators Academy with Suffolk Community College head coach Jason Galbraith. We are in the third or fourth year, I think the fourth year now, of the fall ball series. We're going to bring that back. And a special thank you to East Coast Strength and Performance, Long Island's premier sports performance facility where individualization is their top priority, transforming ambition into reality. Book an appointment by calling 631-270-4258 or follow them on Instagram at @EastCoast_SP. All right, so Coach, obviously in the midst of an unprecedented time right now, but Suffolk is back practicing, third week of practice. So what do you see so far from your team?
Oh, we got a nice turnout, a couple of really nice transfers. Looks like we're going to have an upgraded outfield this year with a transfer coming in from Eastern Tennessee, Nick LaMonaco. Very, very good outfielder, very fast, efficient with the bat. So that's definitely a nice upgrade for our outfield. Couple of returners, Jake Giannaco, looking to make a nice impact this year. We also have a transfer in from St. Rose. So our outfield is definitely upgraded. I got a incoming freshman, Steven Mertziff, as well, who's very good, who's fast, can run, can track a ball, good arm. And, just the outfield is right now is looking very, very strong defensively. The arms are good. It's kind of reminiscent of when Clammer took over a few years ago. Mm-hmm. We had a strong outfield, and it's no different this year. Another thing is the speed of the team. The speed of the team is just incredible. I mean, every guy can run on the team right now. The infield looks really good. We got Chad Pike returning. He was very good there last year. I know he would have had a big season for us. So he's at shortstop right now. We got another player from PatMed that was a shortstop, transferred in from, I'm trying to remember the school. I can't remember off the top of my mind, but very, very good. We got Will Martin at third base, along with a kid, Fresco, who was pretty good there as well. Anthony Amato, which is Chris Amato's younger brother. Is there at second base. He's been very, very sharp, very good at the bat, and he's also fast, just like his brother. So he's going to be able to contribute in a big way. I'm counting on that for sure. Going around the diamond, you got first base. You got returner Nick Dosey. I also got a couple guys over there, new guys coming in, fresh guys, some big boys. But no one's really kind of reared their head as standing out yet over there. So that place, that spot's kind of open for us. Behind the dish, boy, stacked. I mean, this is just, I guess, thank you, COVID, five guys behind the dish right now, battling for a spot. It all starts with returner, Matt Canuck, who was a transfer in from Herkimer last year, nice little catcher, good arm, good defensively. And then we have a transfer in from, I believe, Eastern Connecticut, Alex Mack, who was the former Santa Rosa State Championship with the Red Devils. So, backed up by three other guys that are all very good. I have Jeff Toll's cousin, who was with us a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He's down at Limestone right now, killing it. He was an amazing hitter, good catcher. His cousin's there now, catching as well. So, we are deep. We are deep.
How about the pitching staff? That's the one thing that we didn't touch on.
So as far as the pitching staff goes, we have a couple returners. We got Louis LaRocco coming back, Owen Daly, a couple guys. But, the pitching staff, if I was to say we had a weak point right now, it would be the pitching staff. So, that's right. You heard it. Pitching staff is weak. So what does that mean? Anybody looking to transfer, coming back to Long Island, Suffolk is in need.
Now's the time to do it.
Absolutely.
And the shame of it is that in entering the 2020 season, you were loaded in the pitching staff, so I know you guys were excited to go.
Yeah, we were. I mean, we had Liam Pulser, who transferred in from Stony Brook, he was going to be, lined up to be my number one. I mean, he was going to dominate. He had 7-8 wins, no problem, and obviously led us to a regional. That there's no doubt about that. He's a top caliber pitcher for us, and definitely would have did some work. We also had a kid, Kevin Hahn. We had Louie. We just had a bunch of guys that were really, really good. We were deep, and we had some really good arms. And it just kind of now with COVID, guys transferring out. I believe Liam went to Queens.
We had Giovinco, but
he's at Queens now. We have Ben Sachs. Ben Sachs, I believe, did he go to Queens as well?
I think so.
A lot of guys at Queens. It's early. It's fall. We don't have any games right now. Practicing, getting better every day, working on defense and things like that. And, I always get transfers. I usually get two or three very good transfers between fall and spring. And this year should be no exception. I expect to have, that as well.
Now, everybody's in the same boat not being able to play games in the fall, but how do you feel like that affects specifically you, because you're getting new kids in all the time, so it's a little bit harder, I would imagine, to get a read on them in game action until spring?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we kind of set up, we do what's called DOG, which is a defense, offense, and then game day. So we've got 3 days a week right now, work on our defense. You know, Tuesdays, Wednesday, we work on our offense, and then, you know, Thursdays, we play a game, we play an inner squad. And that's my opportunity to see them compete against each other. Obviously, the pressure is not the same as if they're playing another team. You know, we like to kind of stack our schedule in the fall. We go up to New Haven, play New Haven. We play Tech, we play Pace. So, you know, we play St. Joe's. So we kind of stack our schedule to be tough so that it allows us to get ready for spring. And that usually allows me to see guys kind of that can cut it and that can't. And that were, you know, that are at Suffolk for a reason, because they didn't get that scholarship going somewhere because, you know, they couldn't get the job done. And then there's guys that rise to the occasion and really kind of show me that they're going to be starting for me come spring.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the COVID protocols, I mean, it's new for everybody, but I'm sure it took a little bit of adjusting. What kind of stuff did you guys have to put in place just in order to get out on the field?
I mean, it just paperwork doubled. I mean, it literally doubled, and the time to get started doubled. You know, when a normal year, you get out to the field and you kind of just checking kids in, getting their information, making sure that they're got their physical and all their stuff. Now, there's instead of one piece of paper, there's three. And every time they come to the school, they've got to fill out online. Before they come there, they got to take a COVID test. Not a test, but, you know, just a survey letting them know, hey, where you been, if you're in contact with anybody with COVID. Just all the normal CDC, you know, protocols that everyone's got to go through. The players got to go through that every single day. And then we constantly are surveilled by, you know, ADs coming out to the field, you know, different people coming out to the field, checking on us, making sure we're social distancing, doing the right thing. I got the kids spread out up and down left and right field line with their bags. Everyone's spread out. We got sanitizer in the dugout. You know, anytime that we're not actually doing a physical activity, kids got the masks on. You know, just trying to prevent, you know, anything from happening and making sure that, you know, we do our part to stop that virus from, you know, even thinking about spreading, especially amongst, you know, our players. You know, Joe Cassino, who's my AD, he's done a fantastic job and worked really, really hard to get us on the field. I know a lot of people aren't on the field, and so I'm very thankful for him and for the rest of the staff at Suffolk for getting us on the field and doing all that they have. The other day, AD Neff as well, they've really gone above and beyond to get us out there and to give us this opportunity, so I'm very thankful. Even though we're not playing games, it stinks, but we got a fall, and, you know, I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, it's the next best thing. And just to turn back the clock a little bit to March of 2020, I remember we were texting because I was, you know, dying to cover some games, and it just seemed like every day there was more bad news. Well, at first it was, you know, Division II, Division III, then Division I, then the NCAA canceled everything, and it seemed like, you know, we're holding on by a fingertip, and that was you guys. You know, the JUCO Division III seemed like there might be some hope, and it went on for about a week. So can you give our audience a little bit of background of, like, what that I don't know what it was, maybe 10 days where it seemed like the dominoes kept falling?
Yeah, you know, I felt like we were the last man standing. I thought we were going to be the only show in town. This was going to be a fantastic opportunity for our guys. You know, even going down to Myrtle, I kept hearing, you know, COVID this, COVID that, and some stuff going on. I kind of just kept saying, nah, it's not gonna get here. We're fine, we're all right. It's ridiculous, you know. And so we went down, we had our little spring, we did well down there. We come back, and then all of a sudden, I believe like D1 ended up putting out something, and and then I said, oh, that's crazy, you know, like, all right, well, we're okay, we're doing okay. And then all of a sudden, it literally was just a domino effect. It just slowly but surely got to us, and we were the last man standing, and I thought we had a chance. I mean, my AD, the way they were talking, I mean, it just, everyone just seemed like we really wanted to, you know, our season to happen. And all of a sudden, I got that call, and it was like, oh, my God. You know, it's like a door shutting in your face. You know, the kids work so hard. You know, we're supposed to be in the gym for 4 or 5 weeks. But, you know, I always find a turf field somewhere, and I get us out early. You know, as soon as we're allowed to play, we're on the field, 24 degrees out, snow on the floor. We're outside, you know, working on defense. You know, I can't be inside. I got to be outside. I got to get them on the field. I got to get them moving. And we put in such the kids worked really hard, and we really had a nice base. I felt a really good foundation to really have a nice season. And I know a lot of kids were disappointed and upset, and I was disappointed and upset. It really took a lot of the wind beneath my wings. It just really it sucked the life out of me, to be honest with you. We worked really hard and we had high expectations of this season, and but listen, that's what happens. It's COVID, and what are you gonna do?
Everybody was in the same boat. How were you gonna be able to find opponents though if you guys were one of the only teams
We had some interesting discussions with the AD as far as who we were gonna be playing, because it was just us and Suffolk left because all the CUNYs were out, and
you and Nassau, you mean?
Yeah, it was just me and Nassau left, and they're like, listen, Jay, you're gonna have to travel. We're calling these different schools. They started calling people upstate, Rockland, Orange County, Westchester Community College, ASA, everybody, Monroe. On the phones, and he's like, I don't know how we're gonna do it, but we got to be able to get you a minimum amount of games to qualify. And so it was kind of crazy, but yeah, looked like we were going to be almost like the Road Warriors, just traveling all over the place, playing people, trying to get those games in.
Yeah, that would have been cool, and I would have been in every game probably if that was it. I mean, there was like 4 months where there was nothing, so I mean, I would have taken an intra-squad game. But now, in terms of the recruiting for this year, I mean, in my estimation, it seems like it really favored school like Suffolk, even Nassau, any community college, but especially you guys, because we have a lot of talent here. A lot of kids go away, whether it be that they didn't play at their school or it got to be too expensive and they didn't want to pay to have virtual learning or whatever, if they wanted to come back here for any reason. And you were able to recruit, basically. Baseball Heaven had games. The town of Brookhaven had that big tournament. There were leagues, there were tournaments. So do you feel like this was a positive, that if there was a silver lining, it's that you were able to get some recruiting done?
Yeah, I think, one of the things, especially because of COVID, I mean, you have a lot of people right now. I had a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails just with players, concerned about spending a lot of money, leaving the state, going out of state to go take virtual classes at some, in college where, they're not even in class. And they're paying $60,000, $70,000 to take a virtual class. What's the point of that, right? So it definitely favored us. We got a lot of recruits, a couple of kids that were committed to Adelphi that decommitted, kid Bridgeport, but, he was leaving anyway, but they were absorbed by Sacred Heart. Mm-hmm. And, just kids transferring out, and coming wanting to stay local definitely favored us, 100%. Like I said, we've got a hell of a defense, and our catching has never been this deep before. I mean, I've never seen five catchers like that lined up, and all guys that can do the job.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I just hope that we can get some more pitching. And if we get more pitching, my God, look out, because, I want to get to that World Series, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's been like the great white buffalo. Well, I mean, you were close 2 years ago, but, Suffolk has had a great track record. But just to get over that hump, I know everybody from you guys and Nassau want to win a game when you get to the World Series, too. Nassau, I think they got there in 2013. Maybe they won. I'm not sure, a game, but once you get to that level, it's the best of the best, right? I mean, you faced Rhode Island 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and
Rhode Island 2 years ago. I mean, the one thing I have to say is, that used to be a D2 JUCO, so they were allowed to offer money and scholarships. So, when we played them, they still had that class, but they had moved down to D3. So a lot of the players were scholarship players. They were able to go out and recruit and give those kids money to come to their school. So they definitely had an advantage over us. But they were just a better baseball team. They outpitched us. And we had good pitching staff. I mean, Joe Valentino was at the helm, leading us. He's the number one pitcher in the country. He pretty much led every category in the country.
Two strikeouts an inning, basically.
Yeah, he was on the board for MLB draft. I mean, he was on the board. So, he was a hell of a pitcher. But, he got outdueled by another guy. And the biggest difference was Joe had 16 strikeouts. Or not 16 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts in like five innings, but he gave up five runs, right? Their guys just had quality at bats. We couldn't get their pitchers out. We couldn't knock them out. So it really wasn't pitching difference. It was the offensive difference. I mean, their guys just wore our pitchers out. They had some really good hitters that just knew how to work a pitcher, and it just wore our guys out. And unfortunately, we lost. I mean, but listen, we'll be back, and I'm not worried about that. I know that we got the strength to do it. I know we got the defense and the offense, especially the speed now. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back there again to compete for that, opportunity to go to the World Series.
Mm-hmm. And as of right now, 2021 season is set to start on time with the same opponents?
Yeah, so I think they're setting up our schedule. Everything looks, you know, looks good, but yes, everything's fluid. So,
I
think things could change tomorrow. But as far as what I've been told, the information I've been given, we will be starting on time. We are a low contact sport compared to volleyball, basketball, things like that. So, we do a lot of stuff outdoors. So I think the likelihood of us having our season is much higher than some other sports because of that. And, so right now it looks positive. It looks good. As long as we continue to do our part with COVID and, social distancing and taking all those precautions, I think we'll be in a good place.
Mm-hmm. And this summer, your team, the East End Aviators, they typical performance, I think, in from my opinion. You guys win your fair share of tournaments. You guys compete at the upper levels in the boys of summer and every league play that you're in as well. So, I mean, how would you evaluate it? Were you happy with the performance of the boys?
Yeah, listen, we're a growing program. So, obviously, every year you take on an extra team here or there. So, those new teams are always going to struggle. But we do have a couple of very good teams that have competed and, gotten to finals and tournaments, won some tournaments. And, listen, whether we're playing the Titans or whether we're playing, Team Steel or the Ducks, it doesn't really matter. If you go out there and play competitive baseball and you have guys that are dedicated to sport, dedicated to getting better, and you put a good coach out there, you can compete. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between us and some other programs is we're not always the most talented. We're not the Titans. We don't have 30 teams. We're not B1000. We don't have 30 teams. But the teams that we put out there, they're well coached. All right. And, the kids work extremely hard and we're always in it. We're always competing. I mean, you look at my 18U team, we ended up slammed with tournaments in July. I played 4 tournaments and boys of summer and like 12 boys of summer games. I think I had 26 games in less than a month, right, for my team. My team was exhausted. So we lost a bunch of our league games because I was just throwing anybody in there. It's because we are all perfect game tournaments, so I need to save the pitching. So we got our butts kicked around in the league games. But that doesn't mean we weren't a good team. Mm-hmm. We just kind of had to prioritize our tournaments. And so what ends up happening, we end up getting the last seed in boys of summer, playing the 2 seed. We end up knocking the 2 seed out in the first round. Mm-hmm. We end up beating Caputo, which I know he wasn't too happy about, but he's got a great team. But the reality is that if you coach the kids up well and you get yourself a couple good players and play some good clean baseball, you can compete with anybody. Mm-hmm. Especially play small ball.
Yeah, and one kid in particular I wanted to ask about, Jack Halloran, West Hampton Beach. It seems like they got some players. I mean, I just posted today about Frankie Noto, Halloran, and then they also have left-handed pitcher, I believe.
Yep, Ryan Miller. Right?
So, actually, I mean, you have him as well. So, can you tell us about those two?
Yeah,
kids?
So Jack Halloran, I mean, the kid has worked extremely hard. I mean, this is somebody that absolutely benefited from COVID. When other guys shut it down and kind of sat in the house and gained a couple pounds, myself included. He was out there working hard. He met up with a couple college kids out in West Hampton and were working out on the field almost every single day. Mm-hmm. He's out there working hard. He trained. He put on like 15 pounds working out on his own. Mm-hmm. He just came back a completely different player. He's a very, very hungry kid, but he's also very humble. He plays the game with intensity, but at the same time, he's just got this calm about him. And when he goes up there, it's just like, it's just easy for him, It's just effortless, and he's an extremely good hitter. I would venture to say he was probably the top hitter on Long Island this summer.
Almost hit double-digit home runs, right?
Yeah. He did hit double-digit home runs. Yep, he had, I think, 12 home runs, all with Wood. And, and against some of the better teams as well. So it's not like it was just, boys summer league play or this is all he was all tournament perfect game hitter like twice. I think he made all tournament team in every perfect game that he played in. Mm-hmm. And he had multiple home run tournaments two times. I think he had 3 in one tournament, 2 in another tournament, and then singles in the other tournaments. And then he also had 2 grand slams this year as well.
and he
hit over 500 average. 500. So it's not like he hit 12 home runs and hit 280.
Yeah,
no, he hit over 500. So the kid's a beast. He's an animal. Very, very strong hands. Very quick, short, compact swing. Doesn't do too much. Very simple. We actually had the Pirates down to look at him. So he's got a lot of looks right now. But because of COVID, everyone's jammed up. Rosters are jammed up. He's trying to find the right fit.
And he's a senior, right?
Yep, he's gonna be a senior. He's a very smart kid. So he was looking at Cornell, Dartmouth, things like that. But he's gonna find a good home real soon.
And I got a couple texts from people that were at that game when Ryan Miller pitched. I think he was the starting pitcher against Caputo's team in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, what has allowed him to have so much success?
Ryan Miller's always been a very good left-handed pitcher. you know, he had a couple injuries with football. He also played football. So that's kind of held him back a little bit. And I think, you know, he'd had a pretty big injury with football, and that slowed him up, and kind of, you know, missing his junior year with COVID really set him back. And throughout the summer, it was just like a gradual improvement. I've seen him up 83, 84 from the left side. He doesn't throw over top. He's a typical kind of nice lefty arm. Yep, nice arm action. He's got a big curveball. And another thing about Ryan, he's just a very good athlete. You know, so he fields his position unbelievably well. So, you know, what, you know, guys get on, you know, I mean, he can do it all up there. I mean, really, I mean, he's unbelievable fielding position. So, you know, he's just the type of kid that can literally go out there and, you know, you just almost feel like there's no doubt you can get a win against a good team with him. So he's just very, very good. He's a shutdown pitcher.
I know you're big on controlling the running game. Is that something that you like to see, you know, from your college pitchers, guys? If you're going to go out there and you're, you know, and you're tasked with, you know, starting a game or even getting three outs in the late innings, you expect them to be able to, you know, execute back picks and even, you know, field in their position.
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple different plays, some timing plays that we put in for our summer team, you know, as well as we do with the college team. But, you know, there's nothing, you know, better than being able to get a quick out, you know, get a guy on a walk, a hit, an error, whatever it might be, and to be able to steal it out like that just because of a play you have, you know, you can put on and guys aren't expecting it and you catch guys sleeping. And as far as, like, holding runners on with the pitchers, like, it's a necessity. You can't go out and pitch at the college level without being able to hold runners on. Because, you know, listen, one thing that we do at Suffolk is, you know, we pride ourselves on not walking guys. You know, all for the last 3 years, and I'm sure this past year if we had a season we would have as well. But the first 2 years there, we led the nation in ERA and least, like, walks and high Ks per nine. Like, we led almost all the categories. We're in top three in everything. And the one thing that just I preach constantly to my pitchers is walks. I mean, you can't let guys get on. I mean, in Major League, what's the percentage? Like 60%, 55% of walk score?
Yeah.
Now, just as you go, now go down to a D3 JUCO level, what do you think the percentage is that? 70? 75% runs, you know. Yeah. So what do you do? How do you stop runs from scoring?
Specifically the leadoff walks. Those are the ones.
Yeah, they kill you. Yeah. They always score. They always score. You know, so if you can get that through these guys' heads, and I mean, they've been hearing that forever, but listen, you got to beat the dead horse. I mean, you got it. It's a priority, and if you make that priority and the kids believe and they buy into it, it helps big time. I mean, it really does. It's a game changer. It makes the biggest difference in the world.
And a couple things before we run out of time here. 2020 MLB season, have you been watching or you've been too busy?
A little bit, but I'm busy, man. You know, between Suffolk and the Aviators, there's just a lot going on. You know, I got a third kid on the way. Yeah, so just, you know, it's just a lot going on. But, you know, I love just seeing all the, like, the memes of Altuve and all stuff of the Astros guys. I can't get enough of that. But
Well, I was just going to ask about a couple of the rules that they implemented this year, because I know people feel pretty strongly about, in particular, the three-batter minimum rule. I know that it was put in place to kind of speed up the game, but I feel like it kind of affects the strategy more than, you know, speeding up the game. Because how many times, I don't know, lefty on lefty is a big move, but you really only see that maybe once or twice a game. So, I don't know, what's your take? Do you think that that actually is a positive for the game?
I think anything that they do to change the game the way that it originally was is just going to hurt the game.
Yeah,
you know, hurts the integrity of the game. You're changing stuff up. You speed up the game. The game is the game. It's a beautiful thing. Don't change it. Don't break it. Don't touch it. It's not broke. Don't fix it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I don't like it.
And then putting the runner on second, the free runner to start the extra inning, which I really don't like. I think it comes across as like, oh, we're just trying to get out of here as quick as possible. And you know, I maybe if they were going to do it with one out, but to have a man on second with no outs, now you're having, you know, a single ends the game, basically.
If you think about baseball and the history of baseball, some of the greatest games ever played, what were they?
Yeah.
Extra inning games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Games that you just couldn't end, right? People sitting there, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, the game's still going, right?
Yeah.
But that's what makes the game so amazing.
Yep. I think the 3 a.m. games they're trying to eliminate. But I think that, you know, 11, 12, 13 innings, like, people are, if they like the game, they're gonna want to tune into
that's
it.
Yeah, it's baseball. That's why it's what makes baseball so amazing.
Yeah.
You know, them doing things like that, like I said, it's just taken away from, you know, the game.
How about the universal DH? You don't like it either?
I don't understand why they're trying to change things, and you know, like, I don't get it. I mean, baseball's been around for how long?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you trying to to change the game. I think it's all nonsense. I think it's about money, making do this, do that. They want more, you know, better.
30 more jobs. That's what it is. 30 more DHs.
Well, that's the way that they'll say it. 30 more DHs. You know, that's what they'll say. Oh, you get 30 more jobs. You know, really? I mean, come on. If you're worried about giving guys jobs, then why don't you spread some money down to the minor leagues and all the guys that are suffering? How about that? You want to go pay guys millions of dollars to be a DH and change the game, take the integrity of the game away? That's the whole part of the game. I mean, you have, you know, American League, National League. I mean, I don't get it. I don't see why they're doing it. I don't all these changes. Just like they wanted to do the robotic umpires, right?
I mean, it didn't work.
No, and then they wanted to move the mounds back.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know.
That didn't work either. Yeah. No. Yeah, that was the one that probably would have gone over the worst out of everything, because now you're just you're affecting the guys' careers. Like maybe someone's results in an injury, first of all. Second of all, they never were taught how to throw further than 60'6". So now you're going to start affecting their livelihoods.
Yeah.
And
it was like something to do with like, and they were trying to claim that it was going to help the pitchers and save their arms. How does that make sense? You're going to make them throw
I think the
away.
Angle was that if it, that there was too many strikeouts. So if you're going to take away, you know, maybe an average mile an hour to the velocity, it could, boost offense. But the problem is, you know, there's no guarantee that was going to happen.
You know, it's a funny thing, right? You say there's too many strikeouts, right? So home runs, essentially, right, generate money for MLB, right? Because they're fun, right? People see home runs are amazing, right? But strikeouts generate money for the MLB. People love seeing pitchers go up there and dominate. I mean, how many people just talk about Jacob DeGrom right now and how unbelievable a season he's having? You know, so if they glorified pitchers more, like they glorify hitters, then maybe that would help them. I mean, maybe they wrap the balls tighter so the balls would fly out further, right? Mm-hmm. They lower the seams so that the pitchers didn't have the advantage. They lower the mound so the pitcher didn't have the advantage. They move the fences in so that the hitters had the advantage.
Yeah, I mean, what else?
What are we going to do? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
At what point can you know, are you going to get to when you just say enough? You know, like leave the game alone. It's an amazing, beautiful game. Leave it alone, you know?
Well, I don't think you're alone with that sentiment. There's a lot of people that grew up watching a game a certain way, and it's nostalgic, and it's, you know, sentimental. So for that, we don't need any more changes. That's
absolutely
what I say. So,
100%.
But on a different note, I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to hopefully a full and functioning 2021 college baseball season.
Yeah.
That's really what we're here for. That's my livelihood. That's your livelihood. Uh-huh. So, keep our fingers crossed. In the meantime, everybody social distance, wear your mask. And thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Access.